Hello there, and welcome to Woman of Grit, a podcast that holds space for women to have authentic conversations about our intersectional challenges and where we elevate women's voices, celebrate their strengths, and honor their resilience. I'm your host, Dr. Ann, the Gritpreneur and Woman of Grit. Come on in, we saved a seat at the table for you.
Welcome to another episode of Woman of Grit Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ann, and today we have a guest who is on a mission to help 10,000 women do business on their own terms. Bridget Norris is a game-changing leadership coach who uses a conscious and ethical approach to help her clients achieve success in both their businesses and personal lives. Her community, called The Revolt Weekly, is a support group for, as she puts it, rule-breaking individuals looking for inspiration, guidance, and real talk, and who are ready to break free and create something extraordinary. Welcome to Woman of Grit Podcast, Bridget. We're excited to have you here today. How are you?
I am amazing. I'm excited to be here. Just the name of your podcast is so exciting.
I'm glad. Yes, this is the Woman of Grit Podcast. And we're all about grit. And I'm the gritpreneur. And grit is defined by American psychologist and academic Dr. Angela Lee Duckworth as passion and perseverance for meaningful long-term goals despite obstacles and setbacks. If you could choose only one, passion or perseverance, not both, which would you choose and why? And I like to say there is no right answer.
For me, 100% perseverance, because it is the thing that has got me from where I started when I was a kid to where I am. Passions change, and I love that. I'm a multi-passionate, so I always know that I'm going to be passionate about something. Perseverance is a must.
Nice. So Dr. Duckworth also showed that grit was a better predictor of success among a group of Marine recruits than either intelligence or IQ. So as a leadership coach, how do you define success for your clients?
Oh boy, you know what it is? I think success, the way that I express it to my clients and to anybody that I talk to is that whatever it is that you want and you get that, that means you created success for yourself. I think there's too much dictation and structure around what people decide is success and what people have decided for other people is equal to that. So I just like to know, what is it that you want to create? And if you're creating it, you're successful, period. And it doesn't have to look like anything else.
And I like that, because especially in American society, there are certain professions that is considered successful. However, I strongly believe that there is value in any honest work you do. I say this all the time. I say, I'm a physician. I have my job to do. I don't believe the work I do is more important than, say, for example, the guy or gal who picks up my garbage. Because if they don't do their job successfully, then my life is miserable. So we all have a role to play. So just thinking about maybe one of your clients, could you share an example of how you've helped that individual achieve success in either their business, personal life, or both?
Yeah, 100%. I think part of it is because a lot of the women that I work with are in the online space, there's this idea that somehow we went from $10,000 a month to $100,000, and everybody's got to make $1 million. And working with someone that's finally was able to say, like, that actually is not important to me at all. I'm very comfortable with the money I make. That is not why I'm doing it. But people want to put you in a place and say, you have to be doing it for the money, or why are you doing it? And it was so rewarding to say, I'm just doing this because I'm passionate about this. I love what I do. I love helping people. And that's the legacy I want to leave. And that's enough. And I think for me, there's no bigger win for me than hearing somebody say that.
Nice. Because I mean, I am of that same school of thought, because, and sometimes I feel almost guilty for not wanting to be a bazillionaire, almost like my goals are not set high enough. I want to be comfortable. I want to be able to live an enjoyable life. I love to travel. I want to support that habit. I want to provide for my kid. And anything over that is a bonus. And if I do, I am blessed to have so much. I would definitely want to share that with others in terms of, you know, doing more charity work and things like that, because truly you can't take the money with you. You cannot take the money with you.
And I understand it because I grew up, you know, very poor in a trailer park on food stamps, and you want things. You want to have those things because you don't have them. And then when you finally get old enough to get to the point when you get those things and you realize you don't care about those things, it was just the concept of feeling like I needed to have that for something. And it's just, that's the evolution of, you know, being a grown up, which is, I try to tell my son all the time, is you're going to, right now you want things, you want that nice car and you want all that nice stuff. It's not going to be important in 10, 20 years.
That is so true. I remember, you know, my mom telling me, why are you in such a rush? All these things you want to do so fast are going to be there. There's going to come a time when you're not going to even want to do those things. And I was like, never, never. I mean, going out to the club, dancing right now, you could not pay me enough. You mm-hmm. couldn't pay me enough to go to a club. You could not pay me enough.
Yeah, I can't even stay up past 9:30. What are we talking about, right? Going to a club?
I used to, you know, before I finally quit going altogether, I used to take a nap. Yeah. I had to go out, I had to take a nap because, you know, just to be able to stay awake. So seeking support is so important. I have my communities I tap into for support, depending on the challenge I'm facing. In fact, my decision to write a book, this beauty here was,
amazing.
Yes, thank you, thank you. It was heavily influenced by my communities. And even to launch this podcast, two women in my group of 21 women, we wrote an anthology together, had podcasts, and I saw them. Some of them were really shy in the beginning, and that encouraged me, because it's one thing to listen to the Mel Robbins podcast, but to have another woman that we all are in a group together, we co-wrote a book, we chat, you know, at least once a week, we kind of get together in the chats and we have a conversation. I know what they struggle with. They know what I struggle with. They launched podcasts. And so for me, that was really an inspiration. So communities are really important. And you have a community called The Revolt Weekly, which is described as a support group of rule-breaking individuals seeking inspiration, guidance, and real talk. Could you tell us more about the revolution you're leading and the type of community that has formed around it?
The community, it's come from a personal revolt, a needed revolt of removing myself from the online space and the idea of who I was becoming that I didn't like, and not actually creating what I could create. I wasn't making an impact like I knew I could. So I took a break for 6 months and kind of, we laugh and say like you found yourself again, but it was kind of a reinvention. And when I pulled myself back in, I realized there were so many women trapped in that cycle of, you know, it's not even just about conforming. It's just about losing yourself in other people's idea of what your life is supposed to look like. So I'm like, we need a space for people to say, no, like, I don't agree with that. No, I go against that. No, this not for me. To be able to say that out loud and not have, you know, 40,000 comments of how you're doing it wrong and how horrible you are is needed, you know, much needed, especially for women. Just say out loud what it is you want, and whatever that is okay.
And, you know, that is just this afternoon, I was on a live on LinkedIn and this very topic came up, and two women, they're starting a community on a separate platform. And they say they chose that platform because it was easy for them to use it. I mean, it's just the two of them. They don't have a staff to help them. But one of the things they said also was it doesn't have an algorithm. So if you make a comment, your comment will be seen. It doesn't get pushed down. And the consensus among the people there was Yes, we need something where we can actually express our thoughts. You know, I say Women of Grit podcast holds space for us to have some of these conversations that are needed. So definitely, I understand, you know, where that came from. Who can join your community and how do you find it? Is it a subscription? How if I wanted to join that community, where would I find it?
Right now, because of the exact same thing you just said of not wanting to be on Facebook, that the community is kind of housed in my email and my newsletter and what I get and the response. And I'm hoping at some point that I can expand that into, you know, maybe a podcast or maybe something exactly like that off of the platform, because I don't want it to be in the same space that's constricting people's voices. So that is something mm-hmm. that I have to grow into, but right. I agree with that 100%. And I think that somebody has to go first. Somebody has to be willing to say the things that they're thinking. And mm-hmm. for me, I have never had a problem doing that. And so when I do it, other people do it, which is exactly what I'm looking for. Say the things that you want to say and know that it's safe to say.
Right. See, definitely having a space that is safe to express yourself, to really express your thoughts, not censoring. We tend to self-censor when we're in a space that is not perceived as being safe or that is overtly unsafe. We censor ourselves. So you're described as a leader of a revolution. A leader of any worthwhile revolution requires strength, resilience, and vision. That sounds to me like a woman of grit. What are some of the other key qualities you believe are essential for individuals who want to break free from the conventional norms that constrict us and to create a significant impact on their lives and the world around them?
Usually the first thing that I tell them to tap into, because most people are saying, oh, but I'm not really rebellious. I'm not really a nonconformist. I'm not really a person that does that. And usually I'll pick at them a little bit and say, I bet you, if we go back even just a little bit, there's something that you did in your life that was against something that somebody said you should do. We just have to pull at that string because that little girl, that person is still there. She's just been molded all the way along. So let's pull her back out. And for me, it started when I was so young. So it's easy for me to try to, I never let that go. So I want to pull that back out. So I think I'm hugging at the, you know, the 12-year-olds in everyone.
Right. Because even the rebels, something happens at some point. They get whacked on the head too many times. Like you said, in social media, you get bullied. And for me, it was being in a toxic, emotionally toxic relationship. I was spunky. I somehow, over almost 20 years, I lost my voice, really. I was not advocating for myself anymore. And once that relationship ended, it didn't magically happen where I found my voice. I actually had to do a lot of work to find that person that I used to be. That's why I talk about finding my voice and reclaiming my power so that I could transform my life into what I wanted to be, not what society told me I had to be as a wife, as a mother. So that actually did take some work. You believe it's important for people to break the mold and become rebels in a sea of conformity. What do you mean by this?
I think that it's, and I say this a lot in any place I can, it's boring for, you know, we're all about, we talk about differences. We talk about how different we all are, how amazing that is. How boring is it that you want to be and look the same as the person that you see over there online or over in this space? Like, it is not, that is not enough. It is not enough for you. It is not what you were put here to do. And so for me, the sea of conformity really, really came from, you know, obviously when we hit COVID and the world went online and everybody became an expert and everybody wants to be like everybody. And we're in this cycle of crazy. And I'm like, let's break the crazy because that's not who you were before. And I think that it's exactly what you said. And I actually listened to, and I don't remember what doctor it was that was speaking of this, but that there is actually a certain amount of trauma that you experience that is actually I don't want to use the word good, but it actually is what makes you successful. We all, and they take people who go through absolutely almost none and people that have gone through some, and the people that have gone through some always persevere, always pull through, and always create the success that they want to create. And I think that that's a piece that we're always scared to talk about. And I think it's a piece that I pull out all the time. There is that one little thing. It's exactly what you said, that is the thing that flicks the switch. And some of us just go through a lot of those switches.
So if somebody's listening and they're thinking, oh, I like this, what advice or what insights would you share with the listeners on how they too can challenge the constraints around them, the guardrails, societal norms, so that they can embrace their individuality and forge their own paths?
The first thing that needs to be done is take a step back and actually focus on what are your strengths. And if you don't know, sometimes it's very hard. We've been pushed into so many boxes, we don't even know what those things are anymore. For me, I've always been very aggressive, I love the word hustle. It's something that is, you know, it's like a negative word for women these days. You're not allowed to hustle. You're not allowed to use that word. I'm an action taker. I love strategy. I love that. But I allowed myself to say that that wasn't feminine enough, that that's not what other women want to be around, that I had to get back to my strengths and realize this is me. This is what makes me different. And this is what I'm here to do. So that is like step number one that I would tell you, find out what, not even what your core values are. I tell women, find out what your black sheep values are. What is that? What makes you the black sheep? The you know, that the wool can't be dyed, you can't be changed. What are those things? And then let's focus on your strengths. And then let's take a look at that. And right there is your individual package. And where you go from there is totally up to you. What do you want?
So all those things that, you know, society have been trying to beat out of you, you probably should reach down and bring them back up, you know. So nice. I left that relationship. I already mentioned that I had to forge my own path, one that was right for me and my son. And I have never had one day of regrets. Can you tell us about a personal experience where you had to let go of societal expectations and how it impacted your life? Or if not, you personally, maybe one of the clients you've worked with?
So many. I can tell you that when I was 12, I decided I was going to move out. I moved out of my house when I was 12. I came up with that idea on my own. I said, I'm not going to have the life that I want by living here. I have to move out. Now, is that a good idea? No, I'm not telling anybody to do that. But I mean, ever since when I was 15, I packed a backpack and I hitchhiked to South Carolina. And then I moved to Florida and I showed up at my aunt's door and said, I'm living here. I'm living in Florida. Anytime there's been something that pushes at me, I just push back. And when I got pregnant with my son, I was told it's never going to work. You can't be a single mom. You're going to, you know, be just like your mom. And I said, nope. So every single time society pushes against me, I just push back. And I think that women, if you actually take a look at your life, there's probably more times than not that you've done that. It's just not registering that way. So I tap into all of that all the time.
Nice. I like that. You know, it's like you're almost proving people wrong. You can't wish on my life what your thoughts are. Maybe. And sometimes I think really, honestly, some of these people are just projecting. Maybe they're scared people. They're people who they're living in maybe some regrets. They did not do what you are doing. They were not as bold to do what you did. And somehow they just have to pour ice water on your dreams. So I truly believe that we each have an inner wisdom, maybe a compass of sorts, a North Star intuition, whatever you want to call it, to guide us. Often we do not listen to that voice because over time we've been told we're conforming with society. We're not listening to our own inner voice. And I think over time, if we don't listen to that voice, it just becomes fainter and fainter. I lived it. And that is what I mean when I talk in my book, Woman of Grit, How to Find Your Voice, Reclaim Your Power, and Transform Your Life. I stopped listening to my intuition and I lost my voice. This podcast is a part of my journey to regain my voice and my power. you are a firm believer in being your own guru and discovering your unique path to success. How can someone tap into their inner guru and use it to navigate their personal and professional life?
Number one, just shut off the noise and stop consuming. Like, that is the biggest stifler of who you are, what you want, using your voice, understanding how to be your own, you know, success path, your own North Star. The number one stifler of that is consuming too many things. Obviously we're always learning, and I'm an avid person who likes to learn, but there's a difference between learning and consuming because you think you're missing something or because you think somebody else has that thing that you need.
And FOMO.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So that's the number one. If I had to pick one thing, one rule, that is the thing. To find you, you have to shut out the noise. And I actually did that. I would recommend find maximum 3 podcasts you want to listen to. Unsubscribe to all the rest of them. I unfriended everybody and everything, every guru that I was following that was jading my thoughts and I was consuming too much of. Unfollow, snooze, all of it. I had my Instagram down to following like 5 people. I had to shut it off. So that would be the number one step. Don't pass go, stop here.
Bye. Right. Shut out the noise. Shut out the noise. So you can hear your own thoughts. You can hear yourself think. One of the things I've been doing lately, more intentional, I listen to the universe. There, you know how sometimes we have these fleeting thoughts that just come to the edge of our minds? More often than not, if we're not being mindful, if we're not being intentional, we ignore it. For example, I had a friend staying here with me. And she wanted to go walk. I was leaving for work. And she said, oh, what if I come back and the door is locked? And right then I said, okay, here's the garage opener. I'll be okay. I said, no, that thought came to your mind and we're not going to take any chances. So I gave her the garage door opener. And don't you know, when she came back, the door was locked.
Of course.
That thought came to you for a reason. You know, I never lock my office at work. And today I'm getting ready to go to another clinic in Virginia on Sunday. So I got my computer that I travel with, everything ready. And as I was walking out of the door, a thought crossed my mind, lock the door. And I locked it. I said, you know what? That thought came in my mind. I've been leaving that door open for I don't know how long, but that thought, I said, you know what, universe, I hear you. I'm going to lock the door. So yes, being more intentional. So as a woman, beyond my 40s, in fact, I'm well into my 50s. I sometimes give in to my inner critic, if only for a moment or two, about being too old to do certain things. But I more intentionally now course correct because I provide evidence to my brain that I'm not those things that I'm thinking of my, you know, but that came only after a lot of personal growth and development work that formed the basis for my GRIT framework. So GRIT is not only the word, but GRIT is also an acronym with a G standing for growth mindset. I added, giving yourself grace, because sometimes not forgiving yourself can be a barrier to moving forward because you're stuck in the past. And so for you to move forward, you literally have to let go of some of that baggage. And the R is for emotional restraint or self-mastery. Mastery over your emotions, because if you react everything and anything that happens to you, instead of really being intentional, thinking about it before you respond, you're like a slave to everybody and anything that is said to you. And then the I is for introspection, which is also self-reflection, and the T for transformation. And all came about when I looked retrospectively at the things that had really been instrumental in my personal growth. I was able to summarize them with that acronym. Can you shed some light on some common challenges women face when approaching midlife and how How can they redefine success and find fulfillment during this transformative midlife period in our lives? I mean, we're not ready to be put out to pasture.
I think the number one thing that kind of landed with me once I really learned, like, it was kind of like a light bulb went off, is, you know, people always talked about, oh, you go through seasons of life, right? And the seasons change and you're like, yes. And you think about it and you're like, wow, this is a really long season. And then you realize when I hit 40, I was like, the seasons are going faster. But you can look at it as a problem, like, or I can say, no, this is great. Like, I'm doing more now than I ever did because I'm allowing for the change to happen, and I'm allowing for it to take as long as it is or go as fast as it is it's going to take. And I'm like, this is amazing. If you just kind of let go of the reins of having to control when it's going to happen, how long it's going to take, you find that actually things go a lot faster. It's a crazy concept.
You know, I am really thrilled and I'm encouraged with, at least with the women that I know and the communities of women, so many of them are embracing aging. I can't tell you how many women I know who in the last couple of years celebrated their 60th birthday. That is almost unheard of in the past. Literally, people turned 40 and they just stopped aging.
Stop having parties. Yes. We're not celebrating.
Yes. I mean, can you imagine, you know, you're at a point in your life where you've accomplished so much and you have the financial means to really throw yourself a great party, and you're concerned about society telling you that maybe you're too old for this and too old for that. So I'm really, really, really encouraged that women are owning it, you know, they're owning it. And it tickles me every time when I see these fabulous older ladies. Actually, I'm one of the older ladies now. I got an invitation for a senior pageant. I'm like, what?
You know, it's funny too, is I was like, Martha Stewart is on Sports Illustrated.
She looked great. She absolutely looked fabulous. So we put a lot of ground today. We talked about breaking the mold, becoming rebels in a sea of conformity, forging our own paths, being our own gurus. I really like that. And redefining success in midlife as women, among other things. Is there anything that you want to leave the listeners with that maybe I didn't touch on? Any parting advice, insights that you'd like to share?
We covered a lot, but I would say when you hit whatever goal it is, whatever success it is that you're looking for, like, especially now, just, I'm excited to pick the next one. Like, it's so exciting to me now at where I'm at and where, you know, we're at when you're past the 40 age, when you're less caring of what everybody thinks and says. And you're like, yes. Oh, wait, what's next? Let's do the next thing. What's the next thing? What's the next? Just keep going.
Yeah. You know, I just came back from Morocco with a group of women. I only knew one of them in that group. It's a group she normally travels with. This was my best friend in high school. She was celebrating her 60th birthday and she decided to go on this trip. And women just from every different countries. And it was fabulous. And they do this, you know, not every trip has all the same people. People go in and out. The main organizer stays the same. But these women are traveling. It was just a laid back group of women. We decided not to plan any group activities. So people just broke off in smaller groups and did their thing. So it wasn't like, today we go here, tomorrow we go there, tomorrow, you know, so people just kind of broke off. And for me, that is my ideal travel group. I don't like travel that is regimented. You know, my life is regimented. I have to wake up in the morning, go to work, come back, pick the kid up. That's a routine. When I'm on vacation, I want to go with the flow. So it was a good group of women that I just met.
Well, that's pretty awesome. It was all a group of women who didn't want to be told what to do. That's why nobody was told what to do.
Nobody. I mean, they put in the group. Okay, so we need to plan these group activities. Crickets. And we got there. And then finally she said, oh, well, I guess everybody will make their own plans when we get there. And we're all like, yeah.
Love it.
So where can listeners find out more about you? and the services that you offer?
I keep it super simple and super easy on Instagram and on Facebook. It's just Bridget Norris. It's B-R-I-B-G-I-T. I am a lot more on Facebook. That usually is because my son tells me I'm too old for Instagram, but I am there as well. But I spend more time on Facebook. So,
well, at least my son doesn't say that about Instagram. He thinks I should be on TikTok. And you know what? I have not been on TikTok in so long. I'm exhausted. Actually, I even forget it exists. And I just get exhausted. It's just too many things to do. Among all the other things I have to do.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
We got to put our break, you know, put the foot down somewhere. Somewhere it's got to stop.
Yes. Yes. I don't have the bandwidth. I will include how to contact you in the show notes. And also when the episode airs, it will link to a dedicated page for you. So that concludes our conversation in this episode of Woman of Grit podcast. We've had leadership coach Bridget Norris with us. Thank you so much, Bridget, for stopping by. And I never say goodbye. I say until next time. So take care.
Amazing. You too.
Thank you.
So that's it for today's episode of Woman of Grit. Thank you for joining us, and don't miss the next episode in 1 week. And while you're waiting, you can catch up on previous episodes of our podcast on your favorite listening platforms, which you can access from our website, womanofgritpodcast.com. While on the website, you can learn more about today's guest and all our previous guests. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and rate the show to help us reach more listeners, so we can continue bringing you these incredible stories of women who have overcome challenges with grit and determination. Thank you for your support. And until next week, remain ever gritful and never quit. It's always darkest before dawn, but light comes in the morning. Take care.